T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's Mahomes trying to set it up for the big fella, Eric Fisher, the left tackle, eligible and then some, and some hot potato in the end zone. Touchdown, Chiefs.
Come on, it's not fair. You already got Mahomes. You got your ring. You've got him playing there forever. And now he's throwing to 8 different receivers. He's doing underhand passes to fullbacks. The patented jump passes. Did you see him counting on the field last night? Yeah, Bears fans, you saw that at Soldier Field too. Why was he counting? Why? We know he was counting for Ryan Pace at Soldier Field. All the players and the quarterbacks that were drafted ahead of him, including one Mitchell Trubisky, Mr. Biscuit. Peter Schrager was on NFL Network this morning, and his theory was that he was counting for NFL Network because the NFL Network placed him number 4 in the top 100, and Lamar Jackson on the other side was number 1. Maybe. I love that edge out of Pat Mahomes. That's what the great ones have. We saw it in the 90s, well, 80s too. With Jordan. You see it with all the great ones. And Pat Mahomes certainly has that. Joe Ostrowski with you. This is Sports Radio 670, The Score. Let's go to Kansas City and check in with our friend Ben Heisler, host and analyst for Sports Illustrated, gambling and fantasy stuff. Follow him on Twitter, at Benny Heis. Ben, it's not fair, and I don't know what you do. And he's in a class by himself. But there's also this elite play that we're seeing out of Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and yes, even Josh Allen. We're at a point in this era, and they're not calling any penalties on offensive linemen. I throw my hands up, and it's weird because you grew up here in Chicago, and you know how important defense is to this fan base. Guys, when you're going against players at this level, defense doesn't matter. Like, the Ravens are regarded as one of the best defenses, certainly top 5 in all of football. And when these quarterbacks are on their game, it doesn't matter.
It's amazing. And by the way, it's always good to be with you, Joe. And that's actually a bit of breaking news to me, the fact that he might have been counting on the NFL top 100 list. I actually thought he was counting up the amount of bets that I lost on Sundays. Like, all right, that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, just a rough week 3 for your boy. But I did have the Chiefs plus 3.5 in that game. It's remarkable. And you're right about the Ravens defense, that coming in, they were the top-ranked defense in the NFL. Shut down the other mate in that draft class in Deshaun Watson the week before. Then also just shut down Cleveland and that rushing attack, which, you know, the last couple of weeks have looked pretty dominant. And there's been a discussion that Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb are the number 1 and 2 rushing tandem in the NFL. So they were doing everything right coming into that game. And in fact, when I was looking at the Ravens and the Texans in week 2, the thing that I kept saying to myself is, all right, tape measure game week 3, Monday Night Football. They're finally hosting Kansas City at their stadium. Remember, the last 2 years, Lamar Jackson had lost to Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead, and both of those games were big Kansas City Chiefs leads before the Ravens ended up making it a close competitive game. We almost saw that again, but at that point, Kansas City just knew a way to put it away. He's remarkable, Joe. I don't really know how to eloquently say it other than he continues to impress every time folks think that there might be other quarterbacks catching up to him. You're right. The idea of anybody else sort of in that same sphere, he takes it personally. I would love if I was in my, fourth year in the league to be compared to Russell Wilson, to be compared anywhere in the same conversation as Aaron Rodgers. And he takes it as a slight. It's a mindset of somebody that is on a completely different level that was just set up to be in such a good situation here in Kansas City to learn under Alex Smith for a season, to have Andy Reid as his head coach, to have Eric Bieniemy as his offensive coordinator, to have the cast of weapons around him. And even when those guys aren't playing well, Joe, they still find a way to deliver. It's such a perfect setup here in Kansas City. And frankly, any child that is born in the next 15 years is going to be able to watch greatness at the position.
He's 25.
I know.
He passed the 10,000 passing yard mark last night, 34 games into his career. Barring injury, when it's over, he's going to be at the top by Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Roethlisberger will be up there too. There's no doubt that he's going to be up there with those names, Favre, Elway, all of them, with Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, and by the way, Matthew Stafford on that list too. I think the third fastest quarterback to
garbage
get to 10,000 yards.
Yeah, garbage time.
I'm just trying to think of any sort of scenario that doesn't present itself well for Kansas City, for Patrick Mahomes in the future. I think there were some folks that may have said, okay, well, at some point when you pay these elite level quarterbacks the type of money that you're paying them, how are you going to be able to surround them with elite level talent? What I can't figure out still, Joe, and I know that there's been conversations about it, the Kansas City Chiefs at the beginning of this offseason started with, I think, $725 in cap room, and somehow they managed to sign Pat Mahomes to a $450 million deal. They locked up Travis Kelce. Tyreek Hill is on a long-term deal. They brought back Chris Jones on the defensive side of the ball, who's an elite-level pass rusher and run stopper on the defensive side. They signed Frank Clark to a long-term deal just last year. I cannot figure out for the life of me how they do that. And meanwhile, in Chicago, we're still trying to figure out how Allen Robinson is going to get his money. Some things just don't add up. And everything right now in Kansas City is adding up, and things are just coming up Mahomes.
Here's what's crazy, Ben, is maybe you're lucky and you catch him in an off week. Maybe you're getting pressure up front like the Chargers last week, or you're built like the 49ers strong defense in the Super Bowl, and he could be having a poor game. It doesn't matter what the score is. He needs one quarter. That's how good he is. That was the situation in the Super Bowl. That was the situation last week against the Chargers. All he needs is one quarter. That's how magnificent he is.
I was at the Kansas City Texans game in the divisional round. And think about all the circumstances last year, Joe, that led to that event where Kansas City was down 24-0 in the first quarter of that game and ended up blowing them out. It was an insane comeback, and it all happened so quick. There's a fumble, there's a bad play, a quick little turnover, and he's on the sidelines, and there's been highlights after this, one week after another. We need one play. We need one thing to go our way, and he galvanizes this thing. Like, even from a leadership level, it's remarkable how much faith and confidence that team has in him, and it starts from the head up at Andy Reid. Andy Reid trusts a 25-year-old quarterback to be as improvisational as anybody in the league at adjusting on the fly because of the remarkable plays he can make, the no-look passes if he needs to. I remember in a game on Monday night against Denver, he had to throw the ball left-handed to DeMarcus Robinson because he was being chased down by Von Miller and he couldn't get the ball to his right side. Think about somebody with the offensive pedigree as Andy Reid, trusting a guy that young to just do whatever he wants in the system because he completely trusts him. So to have that confidence right from the top down, because the team trusts Andy Reid. He's had a remarkable pedigree since he's come here. And then to know what he could do with Mahomes at quarterback versus maximizing every little bit out of what they could get out of Alex Smith and still coming up a little bit short. Once you have somebody with this type of background and talent and athletic ability, he was running around the Ravens too. He was picking up yards with his legs. It's just, you're right, Joe. It's not fair. It's frankly not fair to anybody else that has even a good quarterback on their team, let alone what the Bears are dealing with. But anybody that just has a good quarterback and has to try and find a way to against Patrick Mahomes, it's insane.
Before we piss off every Bears fan listening as their stomach's turning and they're yelling about Ryan Pace, yeah, trust me, we're doing the same thing. Joe Ostrowski with Ben Heisler, host and analyst for Sports Illustrated Gambling and Fantasy on Twitter, at Benny Heist. Ben, I was happy that Jordan Malley reached out to you to put you on the show tonight, and, you know, it just what we were witnessing last night to talk about that. But also, I just kind of paused when I saw your name on the rundown and your title. I was just like, this is such an awesome world, man. We get paid to talk about fantasy and gambling every day. That is our job. Don't you do that from time to time? Take a step back. Like, you know what? Today I'm talking about which football games you should bet on. I was going to be doing that anyways, but that's what I get paid to do now.
You know what? Listen, when you and I have been in this industry for as long as we have, and we've hustled, we've tried to find whatever ways we can, and you've turned yourself into one of the dynamic sports gambling follows in the city of Chicago. It just so happens that we were just on the right side of this boom. We were ready to go. We knew that this was going to be an industry that was ready to take off, and we bounced all over it. But yes, of course I pinch myself left and right. I was working as a director of media operations for a startup fantasy company. I left radio a couple of years ago. I thought I was going to be in radio my whole life. And I thought, okay, I might need a bit of a change. I want to try something different. It was a startup, so we lost our funding. And for the next handful of months, I'm out trying to do whatever I can like this, trying to create content, trying to talk about intriguing matchups. I dove into the prop world like I hadn't done before when it came to the NFL and Major League Baseball and the NBA. Like, there's so much of a market for it now because people care and they have accessibility, and it's not hidden behind some foggy 1-900 number anymore. Like, this is part of the everyday conversation and fabric that people care about. Every College Game Day, they've been doing picks forever, but they were incorporating it against the spread. It wasn't part of what we were used to. So, yes, we absolutely can pinch ourselves, but at the same time, sometimes it's nice to occasionally pat yourself on the back and say, we knew that this was going to be something that would take off. We just weren't sure when.
Yeah, this is a little inside, but I over the last couple of years, we obviously saw it. We talked about it, but I can't believe there were so many people in this business cutting their teeth, trying to figure out how to break through, and they couldn't see that this was coming. And it's only going to be more. You think it's big now? Wait till it's legal in half the country, which we are well on our way to seeing.
Right. And I'm living in the state of Kansas where it's not legal at the moment. And then, 15 minutes away is the state of Missouri and it's not legal there. So all of a sudden, those markets are going to come. And by the way, too, Joe, just because, I know what it's like to be hosting about 12 different shows at once, there's also something to be said about knowing and connecting with different audiences in all sorts of different ways. Like, there's still this sort of magical element of AM local radio in a city like Chicago, where it's always going to be on and there's always going to be live and local programming. Like, that's special. And I hope Score listeners, and I the last thing I want this to come across as is patronizing, because it's not that at all. But I hope in the context of this conversation, as somebody who grew up listening to the Score, as someone who grew up with Danny Parkins, who's now hosting afternoons on the Score, like, this is a special station. And this is a place that continues to build those relationships with fans and with audiences. And I know that people don't take it for granted. So to know that there is an audience for stuff like this, it just makes me even that more excited.
Ben, before we run out of time, I do have to ask you about, this is the lead topic for the last couple of weeks on my show, Bet Sweats, and it's the totals. Like, quarterback play and what we're seeing out of Mahomes and Rodgers and Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, yeah. But what is going on with the scoring in this league? And the officials, were they told? Is there a mandate not to call penalties? It has gone. We've seen so many overs over the first few weeks of the season that now I'm looking at week four and I see 9 games that have totals of at least 51. 9, and I think there are a dozen that have totals at least 47. 47 used to be viewed as a high mark, but now it's just the scoring is so wild, and people can't stop betting the overs. The bookmakers are like, okay, we're just going to keep pumping these up because we don't know what to do. And it's not like they're just barely getting over when you have these totals in the 50s. They're still getting over by 10, 15 points at that number. Do you think this is going to continue?
I don't know if it's going to continue. What I do know is that the books are going to adjust. They have to, you know, they continue to get taken for a ride with all of this public money on the overs. And naturally, they're going to adjust. And until the public starts to feel that, okay, maybe I'm starting to get on the wrong side here, they're going to continue to bet the over. It's just more fun. You know, what's that life? What's that lifelong expression? Life is too short to bet the over or to bet the under. I already came out swinging and a miss on that one. It was like the Minnesota Twins losing 17 in a row in the postseason. That's a conversation another day. Joe, just the and the Astros too. But I do find it interesting that, of course, the Bears are one of those teams that is right on that underside at the 44.5 in their matchup against the Colts. But I mean, think about it: Patriots and Chiefs, two very good defenses, by the way. That total is at 54. You have the Browns and the Cowboys. The Browns run almost as much as anybody in the league, and because Dallas continues to put up monster numbers of points and they give up all sorts of yards, we're talking at a total of 55. That feels super high. I mean, the Lions couldn't figure out any point on how to score, and then all of a sudden they go to Arizona, get Kenny Golladay back. That's another total in the mid-50s. I think at some point, it's still you're going to want to be on that sharp side of some of these unders, just because teams are going to try and figure out pace. Like, you talked about that Chargers game against the Chiefs. That was part of the reason that the LA Chargers were in that game. They controlled the time of possession with Herbert. Like, they kept their running game with Joshua Kelly and Austin Eckler involved and exploited a weakness. And that weakness is when you don't have Pat Mahomes on the field, you have a better chance of winning that game. So at some point, I think a lot more of these teams are going to adjust. At some other point, too, weather is going to start to get a little bit colder. And I do think that's going to play a role, especially as wind and snow and rain become more of a factor. It's going to adjust, Joe, but at least in this early part of the season, it's really up and down football. The scoring is intense and it's a lot of fun. I just think at some point you're going to probably want to lean on these unders at some point.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to. It really is.
I know.
Everything in my being says that this is the week you've got to start playing some of these unders, but I don't know if my stomach's going to be able to take it the way we've seen scoring in these games so far. I mean, there were some sharp betters.
Tease them up, Joe.
Teasers have been killing 12 and 4
with favorites.
Yeah, teasers have been killing it. I've been doing that. I usually don't tease totals, but I'll tease these sides all day, man. I don't have a problem doing that. Ben Heisler at Benny Heisler. Ben, before I let you go, I know it's early in the process and all that here, but is there a player in the prop market that you love or you hate this weekend and DFS, fantasy football, all that stuff for NFL?
Oh, man, it's still super early for me, so okay. I haven't had a whole lot of time to adjust. I think we were talking about the Chiefs. I do think Cam Newton is set for a bounce back game. I don't know whether it'll be through the air, but it's on the road at Kansas City. The Patriots for a long time had Andy Reid's number up until, you know, the last year or so when all of a sudden the tables flipped. And it's a short week for Kansas City. Newton, I think, is going to be wanting to play well. Remember, he was in that MVP conversation for the first couple weeks. Bashaud Breeland might be coming back for Kansas City. I'm trying to remember if it was either a 3 or a 4-game suspension, but you can attack them through the air and also through the ground if you play it correctly. And I think that way that they've been using Cam up until last week has been really impressive. I like the mindset that New England has had with somebody like Cam Newton, who doesn't have to worry about an Arrowhead Stadium crowd getting on him all that much. He's playing well. He's in a system that is embracing his talent. So I'd say probably Cam Newton rushing. If I just first whim, I'd have to check what that number is. But I think he's going to be in line for a solid game, considering the Chiefs had some issues at stopping the run. And they're not afraid to use him in the running game, especially if know, Rex Burkhead is going to be a threat on the sort of in the middle of the field as well. So I'll say if I had one lean at the moment, it'll be Cam Newton over on his rushing total for at least week four.
Ben Heisler, Sports Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at Benny Heis. Ben, I don't know if you're going to go you'll hang up with me and turn on the presidential debate, but just know that during the course of our conversation, somebody yelled clown and somebody said, shut up, man. So have fun.
Just another Tuesday night, Joe.
Yeah.
You know it.
You don't have to comment. You don't feel the need. I just wanted to throw that out there to keep the people updated. Thanks, Ben.
Always fun, my brother. Take care.
Thanks. Good stuff from Ben Heisler. Coming up next, I know what he's doing right now. Jay Zawoski. We'll check in with him. The Blackhawks made a move. I wanted to talk. There was a Stanley Cup handed out last night. I know nobody noticed because they were watching Chiefs Ravens. But I want to see if we learned anything from this postseason run in the NHL and how we can relate it to the Blackhawks. We'll check in with Jay Zawoski next. This is Joe Osho on 670 The Score on the Radio.com app.
Joe Ostrowski, Knights on 670 The Score.
Thanks for hanging out on this Tuesday evening. The White Sox win game one, game two tomorrow. The Cubs start their series against the Marlins tomorrow afternoon right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. And game two, game three, all day games. The networks don't want any peace of Cubs Marlins. Let's bring in our friend Jay Zawoski. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. You know, he's got some wild takes that I want to address. There's a lot I want to talk to Jay Zawoski about. He's the Ep / Blackhawks guy. He's an author. He's a podcaster. He's at Jay Zawoski 670. Jay, are you cussing me out right now that I tore you away from according to Twitter?
No, I know what you're going to say.
Debate. Dude, are you thanking me or are you mad at me?
This is, look, this is the biggest, and I think Joe, like you as a producer at heart too, watching two dudes yell at each other for the next 2 hours with no mute button, with no fader or pots, it is a complete disaster train wreck. And everybody who follows me on Twitter knows where I stand, but Trump will just not shut the hell up to the point where Biden said, will you shut up, man? Mid-debate.
Okay.
He can't, anytime Biden speaks, Trump just talks over him and the moderator has zero control on the whole thing. It is a complete train wreck.
I see the quote popping up as I'm on the air. And I'm kind of thankful that I'm on the air, so I'm not witnessing this. But I have no idea who's saying what. Is it both sides that are yelling at each other, or is it one-sided?
It's one side. One side is irritated because he can't get a thought out. Because sure. Every time he tries to make a point, he's interrupted. Joe, I'm telling you it's bad. And you aren't understanding when I'm telling you it's bad. You think I'm speaking in hyperbole. It's not. Yeah. When you get off the air and you watch the highlights of this thing, you're going to be dumbfounded by how out of control this debate is. He already used the Pocahontas insult like 3 minutes into the debate. he's called Joe Biden a socialist about five or six times already. It is absolutely
did he
insane
call him a clown?
What I'm watching.
He called him a clown,
no,
right?
Biden called him a clown.
Oh,
Biden
he did?
Called Trump a clown. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, Jesus.
Dude, it's wild.
All right, let's talk some hard hockey.
Yes, please. Good Lord.
Well, first off, let's talk NHL before we get to the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
They knew the game of the NFL season, or at least hyped up that way, was Ravens Chiefs, and I get it. Like you think highly of your league, not you, but you're Gary Bettman. Why? I felt bad. Like, I was all in early on in the playoff run, especially when the Blackhawks were in. I found myself watching all sorts of series. Sports were returning. It was so exciting just watching these games, and sometimes the result isn't what you were watching on the ice. Like, the game winner is not the team that played better. I was fascinated by the run. But, you know, last night they're handing out what most people refer to as the best trophy in all of sports, and I just felt like nobody saw the damn thing because they were stubborn, or maybe it was the networks. I don't know. But why were they playing last night, this game six?
Yeah, for everything they did right during the return to play, and they got through the entire thing without a single positive test, which is amazing. They did a terrific job. But yeah, how do you not look ahead on the calendar and say, What could possibly interfere with a cup-clinching game? No, of course, it's a seven-game series, so you can't really plan for every game to fall on a perfect date. But games four or later, you've got endless time, right? You've got until the draft is the middle of next week, but you could have pushed that 3 days just to avoid football, right? All you had to do is put that game last night on Tuesday and move everything down a day, and it would have been fine. But yeah,
you could
right.
put it on Thursday. You could put it on against that football game. I'm just saying, not the one that we saw last night.
Right. I know they want to wrap it up because they've got to get on with the offseason, because who knows when we're going to start playing again. But the draft is the middle of next week. Free agency starts next Friday. So it's going to be wild and fast. I know they want to wrap things up as soon as possible. Plus, they want to get these people back to their families. But sure. Going up against Monday Night Football, that was a mistake. They could have certainly moved everything in one day. But the people that did watch saw the Tampa Bay Lightning just dominate the Dallas Stars, really the whole series. Uh-huh. And Tampa, you know, last year had a historically great regular season, then lost in the first round to Columbus. So I think a lot of people, I don't want to say slept on them, but I think a lot of people forgot really how good they were. Everyone was like, Boston, 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 it's going to be Boston. And it wasn't. And then I think we were all reminded, well, not we all, the people that watched, we're reminded how good Tampa was last year and how good they are this year. That is about as deep of a team as you're going to find. And they for sure deserve to win the Stanley Cup. They were awesome.
Here's what I found intriguing is when this whole thing started and they expanded the playoffs and many believed to make sure that the Blackhawks were a part of it. Okay, fine. It's a
mm-hmm.
TV
and
show,
Montreal.
Yeah, yeah. It's a TV show. Whatever. Okay, cool. It's going to be fun. A lot of people figured, wow, this is, you know, it's hard to project this out. We don't know what this is going to be like. You have these two locations. But in the end, what we got was one of the favorites to win the cup at the very end. Did we learn anything from this playoffs, or do you kind of take 2020 and just push it to the side?
What I learned is that I don't think the crowd matters as much as we think it does. I really don't. I think once the puck is dropped, the players sort of tune those things out. And I know there were moments where guys said it felt a little sleepy or whatever. There, I think The Athletic published a poll from the coaches about midway through the playoffs and said, you know, what's been the hardest thing to adjust to? And I think like less than 1 or 2% said playing without a crowd. That was not a factor. And I think especially, you know, Blackhawks fans like to take pride in the intimidation factor. But I think once the game begins, I think pro athletes have the ability to sort of tune that out and just sort of focus on what they have to do. That to me stood out the most was that, you know, the games didn't seem to lack. They looked like playoff hockey. They didn't lack any intensity. And I know some players said that they seem to have trouble getting going a little bit, maybe early. But man, if you were to just watch those games with no context, it didn't feel different from a playoff game. Aside from looking at the arena and seeing no fans, right? The rest of it looked like playoff
yes.
hockey and felt like playoff hockey.
Right. Absolutely. With Jay Zawoski, this is Joe Ostrowski, Sports Radio 670, The Score. So the Blackhawks make a deal with Vegas. Here's Brandon Peary. What was the motivation behind it, and what did you think of it?
I don't know. That's it. That's my answer. I don't know what the motivation was behind it. I don't know what their plan is. I don't know what the offseason or the near future is for the Blackhawks. Are they trying to win? That move doesn't prove to me they're trying to win. They bring in an yeah. older version of kind of the same player. Is Brandon Peary better than Dylan Sekura? Probably, marginally. But it's just, to me, that's a trade for the sake of making a trade. You fired John McDonough in April and still have not named a team president. You have not even identified what you're looking for in a team president, at least publicly. Are they looking for a hockey ops person? Are they looking for another marketing mind? What are they trying to do? The draft is next week. Like I said, free agency starts next week. And Stan Bowman's in charge? Question mark. Jeremy Kelton's job is safe? Question mark. No one really knows. Are they rebuilding? Are they trying to win? There's just no clarity on what the Blackhawks are trying to do here. And my fear is, because of the way they're stuck with, you know, have, you know, expensive deals for older players, they're going to become the next version of the Red Wings, where they hang on to these guys for too long, way past their primes, just to, you know, well, you know, you won here and we owe you that. You know what? It's time to rebuild. There's no way that this team is going to get back to the Stanley Cup as currently constructed. And there's no, they're unable to make moves. At best, this team returns the same roster next year, meaning they bring back Corey Crawford and Dominic Kubalik and Dylan Strome somehow. That's the best case scenario, is they get all three of those guys. Now you've got a prospect in Ian Mitchell who's ready to come up. They signed another European free agent and Pia Suter, who they expect things from, maybe not to the level of Dominic Kubalik, but close. So those are two guys that could make a difference. But if you lose Kubalik or Strome or Corey Crawford, you're probably breaking even at best. So I don't know. You're probably going to lose Olimata. You're going to have to trade him or buy him out if you're going to sign Strome and or Kubalik and or Crawford. There's just no way that this team is going to improve next season. So if that's the case, what are we waiting for? Why are we delaying the inevitable? I just don't understand. And I'm not
saying... Feels like a perfect time to do it, right?
It really is. And I don't know if that means trading Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane, but you could find someone to take Duncan Keith. And I know it's going to really hurt your defense, but at some point you've got to start jettisoning some of these old players to sign some of the young talent you have. Strome is 23 years old. And I know people are down on him because he had a tough year because of injury and he had a bad playoff, but that's a 23-year-old with, what, 130, 140 NHL games under his belt. He was nearly a point-per-game player last season when the Hawks traded for him. Kubalik's 25. These are the guys you have to prioritize keeping around, and it might suck. You might have to swallow hard and trade one of these guys that you love that has done a lot of things for the city. But if you want this team to come out the other end and be competitive within the next 5 or 6 years, the rebuild has to begin. You have to. You've got, even if it's, you know, even if you are just freeing up money to sign some younger free agents to sort of bring in the next era, because look, you've already got some young talent. I already mentioned, you know, Kubalik and Strome. Kirby Dach is 19. Adam Boqvist is 20. Alex DeBrincat's 22. Alex Nylander's 22. You've got a lot of young guys who have shown that they can play at this level, but you just have to find a way to help those guys out. And if Toews and Kane and Keith get older, I feel like by the time those young guys catch up to them, those guys are going to be gone, and then what? Right? So it's, I don't know, it's just really hard for me to see what the Blackhawks' plan is right now, and they haven't really done much to help us see clearly what they're doing. They're not really talking at all.
Yeah. Jay, I'm just going to move forward to my next question and not bring up that you just said the Blackhawks might have to swallow hard right here on Sports Radio 670.
Well, I did say I was humping out with you today, so...
So that was going. I thought you did that intentionally as a joke.
No,
so it was autocorrect. But
no.
Okay, so Rocky goes on the record finally over a month ago, and he says that Danny Wirtz is not going to be the Blackhawks president. But doesn't everything point to Danny Wirtz being the permanent president?
Well, and if that's the case, just say it. No one's going to be mad about that. It's fine.
No.
He's a young guy who's been around the
team
forever.
We've got Jack Collinsworth. We got Jack Collinsworth
yeah.
on the
look,
NBC.
If you're Rocky Wirtz, you say, this is and has been a family business forever. I promise you that Danny is not my father. And everyone's like, cool. As long as it's not Bill Wirtz again, which we all know it's not going to be, that's fine. Rocky's done everything right since the day he took over. And you and I have talked about this on and off the air. It wasn't difficult to do what he did, meaning pay your good players, put games on TV, and sit back and watch your team
right.
win, right? Like, that's really all you have to do is just get out of the way and let people do their thing and allow people to sign Marian Hossa and big-name free agents like that. But this is a little bit questionable. I just don't know what they're waiting for. And if you look around hockey, big-name players are being traded. Other teams are making hires. It's time for the Hawks to figure out what they're going to do here. And it looks like, I mean, obviously you're not going to fire Stan Bowman a week before the draft, so you're going to let him draft, so you're giving him at least another year, right? And I guess Jeremy Calton gets the same treatment. But when does the new guy come in or girl come in? Who's it going to be?
Yeah.
What's their role? What's their level of expertise? I mean, you've seen Eddie Olczyk interview around the league. You've seen Kevin Weeks interview around the league. I just don't know. I wish I had some sort of clue what the Hawks' plan was at president. When Rocky Wirtz came on, all he said was, it's not going to be a hockey retread. Well, what does that mean? Does that mean it's not going to be Dale Talon? Or does that mean it's not going to be Eddie Olczyk? Like, Eddie Olczyk is a guy who coached Pittsburgh for a while. but hasn't run a front office, and I think he's fully capable of it. I just don't know what that means. It's not going to be a hockey retread. Okay, great. That sounds good. But what is it going to be? That's the question we have not had answered yet.
Is your Blackhawks book available now?
It's complicated. So.
Okay. I was trying to figure that out. I was like, Jordan, just get Jay on and we'll talk about it.
Okay. So the book officially comes out November 10th. That's the official release date. However, I have received my advanced copies. And because of the situation we're in, where I will not be able to have traditional book signings, where I'll be able to go to a bookstore and sign 200 books, whatever, they've given me the green light to sell from my personal stash. So in the coming days, I'm trying to figure out a fair way to do this because I know a lot of people pre-ordered. The book's been available for pre-order since April, and I know a lot of people did that. But I want to try to find a way fairly to make this book available for an advanced signed copy that I would ship out myself, you know, from my basement here. I got like a whole, I have like a whole mail room in here now for this situation. So I think towards the end of this week, I'll have some sort of announcement on my Twitter account. If you want to just pre-order traditionally, it's available anywhere you buy books. I like to encourage people, if they can, to support independent bookstores because they need it more than ever. One of my favorites is Bookies. There's one of those in Beverly Mount Greenwood. There's another in, yes, I know, it's a different kind of bookie. Beverly Mount Greenwood, there's another one in Homewood. They're at bookiesbookstores.com, and you can go to bookshop.org, and that site just sort of helps out all independent booksellers. But if you want to go, you know, to the Goliath booksellers, it's available there too. But if you'd rather wait for a signed copy through me, that's fine too. I'm also going to do my best to make myself available to sign books if we don't have traditional signings. I'm going to try to go north, south, east, west, and be there for people a couple times after the release. So if they did pre-order, they'll have an opportunity to get it signed. It's just, it's a weird situation that no one prepared for. I finished the book actually in December and just had to sort of, once the season ended here, updates and numbers and things like that. But this is nothing anyone's ever planned for. Even the people at Triumph Books, the publisher, they're kind of like, we're kind of winging it too because we've never had to go through something like this. They have a very normal schedule of new book comes out, signings begin here, pre-orders begin here. But because of the pandemic, everything's sort of up in the air. So they've been super flexible and super helpful with me. So long story short, by the end of this week, if you really, really want one early, you'll be able to get one through me. Just keep an eye on my Twitter account and I'll have some kind of way to get it to you.
Okay, so an official announcement there. By the way, I was just keeping an eye on my Twitter account, and apparently the debate has started talking about Big Ten football, FYI.
Oh, cool. trending on Twitter. trending on Twitter, will you shut up, man? Oh my God, Trump, and did Biden. So those are the three trending things in politics right now.
Jay, speaking of your Twitter account, you have been on a roll, man. I've been fascinated by a couple of your takes. One I think was today, which I agree 100% with, and one you've echoed to me in the past, but it upset a lot of people. Okay. It has always bothered me because, God, I don't understand it either. Cancel the post-game show. Why would you cancel the post-game show if there's something great going on in a baseball game? I think you would want, like, I think Mitch Rosen would call in and say, let's lengthen the post-game show. Let's have it go 3 hours because Kyle Hendricks might throw a perfect game right here on 670 The Score. That has always bugged me, and it's not only Hawk. It's a lot of people. Call your sons, call your daughters. That makes more sense. Cancel the post-game show, I don't get.
So cancel the post-game show is after the hit is given up for the first time. And from what I've gathered, that was created by Hawk. That's a Hawkism. It doesn't make sense, though. the post-game doesn't get canceled. The post-game is a post-game, and it always happens.
It has sponsors.
People are like, well, Hawk said it. I'm like, I know he said it. It's still stupid. It still doesn't make sense. It's just, cancel the post-game show. It's never... Maybe it's because I'm too literal and I am a broadcaster, so it's like, well, how would we do that? It was a one hitter. That's great too, you know. I don't know. It's something I've never understood. And today I just said, like, someone explain to me what cancel the post game show means. And 3 hours later, I don't have an answer.
It's a very fair question. And the other fire take that you threw out there, you've mentioned this to me in passing. I think more off the air, but you put it out there on Twitter the other day, and it made me smile. And I don't agree with the take. I understand the take, but it made me think about something else. Why don't you explain your Foo Fighters opinion?
So the meme was, and I've said this before on Twitter, this is not new.
Okay.
But the meme said, share an unpopular music opinion that people will not like. And I just think, and look, I have, in the last few years, I've turned over a new leaf where I have stopped being a music snob. And I said, whatever you like, whatever makes you happy, like it. It's fine. I'm not going to argue with you about the quality of music or should you or should you not like what you like. Like whatever you like. But in my personal opinion, and I know this is controversial and I know most people don't agree with it, I think the Foo Fighters are a very ordinary rock band. And I think that Dave Grohl is, to me, and this again, I'm saying he comes off to me as phony. Like, no one is that excited about Rush.
You know who you can compare it to? You can compare it to Taylor Swift when she's on stage.
That's fair. And you know,
some of that's fake.
It's manufactured. And part of me, a while back, I had the same opinion about J.J. Watt. I was like, where's the camera? Yes. Where's the camera? J.J. found it. Look at me working harder than my teammates. Look at me, you know, grinding on the field when everyone else is going to sleep. Remember the when they were on Hard Knocks? Dempster's grown on me. He's really done a good job on Marquee. I think he's awesome in the booth. Okay. But the J.J. Watt thing always bothered me. But then sort of on the same vein of the music, I said, you know what? This is a guy who is generally a good person and doing good things and helping society. And we need more people like J.J. Watt, even if maybe like a fraction of it is done to be on camera and to sort of promote the name a little bit. That's fine. As long as the deed is good, fine. Whatever your reasoning for it, as long as the good deed is being done, cool. So I backed off J.J. Watt. But I just, when every time I see Dave Grohl talking about any sort of music, he's like jumping up and down excited. Like, there's a lot of music I love. I talk probably more about music than sports. But there's very few artists that make me jump up and down with excitement when talking about them.
Didn't you like it when you saw the drum off with that girl?
Yes, that's great.
That was cool.
That's very cool. No doubt. There's no doubt about it. Like, I'm not saying he's a bad guy by any means. I just think that sometimes Dave Grohl is very much into being Dave Grohl. And being like, look at me, look how excited I am. Like, look how down to earth and approachable I am. I don't know if I buy it. You know, like Joe, we've had this experience where we will talk to an athlete off the air or they'll come in the studio and they'll be really prickly. You know, they won't even look up their phone to talk to you when you bring them up the elevator. Right. And then as soon as they're on there, like, hey, buddy, what's going on? And then the light goes off and they're like, all right, see ya. I'm out of here. Like, they when the light goes on, they become different people. We've seen athletes like that a lot. I very much get that vibe from Dave Grohl. And I think that it's probably me being jaded a little bit from working in radio for 20 plus years, where you do sort of see the other side of people that you think are like, wow, this is a really cool and interesting person. Then you sort of realize, you know, it's just they're just people. And they've, you know, I don't know. It's one of the downsides of the industry. And here I am like, my job in sports is truly has shined a light on some stuff. I'm not complaining about the job. I know it sounds bad, but it's just that's just sort of the vibe I get from Grohl, because I've seen a lot of people that way on the air, and then when the light goes off, they're different people. And I get that vibe from Dave Grohl. Maybe it's wrong, but I've tweeted it, and people in the industry have not jumped out to correct me. I will say that.
Mm.
Like, if I said, I don't know, I'm just going to... Like, Sam Acho is a genuinely good dude, right? And on the air, off the air, he's the same guy.
What about
Nick Swisher? But if I went on Twitter and said, Sam Acho comes off to me as phony, hundreds of people in an industry would be like, no, you're wrong about this. He's not. He's a really good dude.
Sure.
That's really how he is. I've said a lot of stuff about Dave Grohl over the years, and not a single media journalist or music journalist or personality has said, no, man, you're wrong about this one. So
and you know a lot of them that have met him, like at our friends at XRT and stuff like that. Yeah, I get exactly what you're saying. So he's not. So maybe Dave Grohl is Nick Swisher or something like that, right?
That's a really good example.
Something fake. I don't know how – Jordan's yelling at me to break. The last thing is I don't know how I got here, but – and I think somebody had mentioned it to you in your mentions about your unpopular opinion. And it took a couple of decades, and I would hate – my teenage self would hate me saying this, but I realize that I don't love Pearl Jam as much as I thought I did. Or maybe they're not as great as I thought. I don't know. For me, it just doesn't live up. Like, I thought they were the best ever.
I'm not like a guy who, I'm not going to go binge a bunch of Pearl Jam. I like Pearl Jam a lot. Obviously, 10 and Versus and their early albums really were huge. Yeah, they were huge for me. What I respect about Pearl Jam is they very well could have gone the U2 route and made the same album over and over again and been the biggest band in the world. Been billionaires, whatever, but instead they chose to be artistic. They chose to take chances. They chose to make stuff they knew not everybody was going to like. And while I don't really love later Pearl Jam, I totally respect the fact that they were like, you know what, screw it. Let's try something different. Let's mix it up. Let's not try to make the most popular album we can. Let's do what we want to do and sort of live or die with it. So I have the utmost respect for that. To me, that's art. Right, being able to go out there and change what you do, even though you know it's not going to be popular, I think that's commendable. And I, as much as I don't love later Pearl Jam, I respect the hell out of the fact that they chose to do that when they could have very well said, all the other grunge bands have literally died off. Let's go be the biggest thing in the world and write Alive and Even Flow 1,000 more times and just, you know, die in a big pile of money in 50 years, which they definitely could have done and they didn't.
You two didn't do that, Box.
He knows they did, too, by the way.
I know. Jay Zawoski, he's going to have an announcement shortly on his Twitter feed, at JayZawoski670, about his book. Jay, thanks for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
There's Jay. Go enjoy the debate. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of fun. Joe Ostrowski here. Coming up next, I got a few notes I want to get to on the NBA Finals. And then also 9 o'clock Score Rewind. You've got 670 The Score and the Radio.com app.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
All I got is a statement. Keep that attitude and keep doing what you're doing. Get your money.
Oh, we didn't even get to Allen Robinson appearing on First Take today. Oh, man, maybe we'll have to save that one until tomorrow. Joe Ostrowski here, Sports Radio 670, The Score. I also have a full 6 to 10 show tomorrow night because we've got the Cubs in the afternoon. So I'm not going to be bumped in the evening. And if there is a Game 3, if that Cubs-Marlins series gets pushed to a deciding Game 3, that game on Thursday, it's going to be at the same time. It's going to be on Thursday afternoon. I believe a 1 o'clock start, a noon pregame right here on Sports Radio 670, The Score. And don't forget, we are airing it on the Radio.com app. In the past, like a month ago, we were not able to stream those games. Now we can stream those games. So you can listen on the app. You can listen through via your smart speaker to Pat and Ron. So certainly suggest that you do that. White Sox win today. They are up 1-0 in the series over Oakland. The Cubs go with Kyle Hendricks in game one tomorrow instead of Yu Darvish. Yu Darvish set to go in game number two. Dallas Keuchel on the bump for the White Sox in game two of that series. And right now, the Yankees are handing it to the Indians. A lot of people talking up Cleveland in this series because of the great pitching. Did not work tonight. The Yanks got to Shane Bieber early. They lead 11-2 in the bottom of the eighth. 11-2 Yankees. It looks like they're going to take a 1-0 series lead in the best of three, and Cleveland will be one game away from being eliminated very early in the postseason. Coming up next, Score Rewind, and I promise some NBA final stuff. We're going to get to that right before we bring you some fantastic stuff heard on 670 throughout the day. This is Joe Ostrowski, 670 The Score, and the Radio.com app.
And no damn question. Get that man his money. Pay him!
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.